Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. That's Ryan Finley. It's his birthday. He's a sports editor of the Union Tribune. Thought I forgot, didn't you?
How do you know these things?
People tell me stuff.
Come on, man.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You and Nelson Cruz, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Now, all right. The same age. Yeah. I'm in Texas, Padres Rangers. I'll bring you back something, Ryan. Padres Rangers for three. Rangers not defending their title very well. Padres are trying for their first title. So which would you rather be? Ryan, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with the Padres. They take two out of three from Boston. They've looked great in their last 11 games. This is a stretch that we've identified, 2 weeks ago as being absolutely critical. And I asked you questions like, what if they go 2-8? What if they go 3-9? Are they trading guys? 2-8, 3, you know what I mean. What if they won two or three games during the stretch? Are they trading guys? Are they giving up? Are they maybe slowing their roll? And what do the Padres do here over the last 11 games? I mean, red hot. Take away the last game of the Boston series, which they lost. And this is a team that's playing as well as it's played all year.
Absolutely. I think you could still say that, because what stood out to me as I'm watching this game, and you get to a point when you're covering a game and the team you're covering, it appears, these guys have come back a lot, but you're getting to the seventh, eighth inning. You're like, okay, this is going to be a loss. All right, what's the story today? Uh-huh. And it was like, wow, this was just a loss. It wasn't a loss where it was like, oh, you could have swept this team, or whatever. But all these themes that we have had throughout the season, this was just a loss. I would say that they're really playing. You know what's funny? They are playing better. They're hitting almost 300 in this 11 games. They're pitching okay in these better than they were earlier in the month. They're playing well, but they're not playing that much better. They're getting home runs. That's one thing happened in June, which, by the way, they had 2 5-game losing streaks in June and still had a 15-13 record. So that, if you want one other stat to pile onto the up and down yo-yo seesaw roller coaster Padres, there it is. But anyway, they are doing what a winning team does, which is if you put together a 5-game win streak, you win 11 out of 9, or 9 out of 11. That's what a playoff team does on the way to making the playoffs.
Right. And no Padre in club history has had a better month from a home run perspective than Jackson Merrill. I'm going to couch this because it's one of the world's greatest Padre fun facts. What, 9 home runs in the month of June?
Yeah, I thought it was tied for second, but I could be wrong.
I thought it was tied for first with Ryan Schimpf.
These are the kind of funny things where that is one of those things where the stats, where sometimes I just blow them off, and I'm not saying I should, but what's funny to me is it's always if you're in St. Louis or New York or Boston or even Baltimore, and they go first time since, the name that comes after that is Frank Robinson or Carl Yastrzemski. Mm-hmm. And for the Padres, 99.5 times out of 100, it's Ryan Schimpf.
Yeah. it's a name of a guy and you go, oh yeah, he did play for them that one time.
But anyway, to your point, I doubt that our nitpicking here over what this was or was not is going to detract from your point about Jackson Merrill. And what was that?
No, he's rounding into, I think, the best version of what we thought he could be at this point in the season. There were so many of these question marks, and I was thinking back to February the other day where we went, well, they have to sign Tommy Pham because who else are you going to get? Or, Jackson Merrill shows up and he's playing the outfield, and we go, what a crazy experiment. And you look at Jackson Merrill as we start July, he's hitting .294 with an OPS of .792, thanks in part to some injuries elsewhere in baseball. I mean, he's in the driver's seat or maybe number two for National League Rookie of the Year. It's been a really impressive few months from him. I know that we talk about him all the time on here, Kevin, but especially lately, what is he doing well?
I suspect, by the way, that if both of these guys make it to the healthy through the year and continue like they are, that we will be given an opportunity to complain about the East Coast bias and that what's his name? Paul Skeens. Yeah. He's going to win the Rookie of the Year because the greatest thing anyone's ever seen. But Jackson Merrill, you are correct, has inserted himself nationally into the conversation. It's not just a guy having a quiet, good year as a rookie. He's legit. Get this. The Padres have 3 of the top 4 outfielders in the National League by F-WAR. Profar, then it's, I believe, Brandon Nimmo of the Mets, Tatis, who's hurt, still up there. I think it's a 2-6. And then Jackson Merrill tied with Tatis, a 2-6 war. Three of the top four. I will be interested. I'm in Texas now. I'll be back in Texas in 2 weeks. I'll be interested if Jackson Merrill is back here with Jurickson Profar, Luis Arraez, possibly Robert Suarez.
You stand next to Jackson Merrill a lot and you see him in person. Is he sneaky big? You know, it's funny. It's, you think of a center fielder and the way he plays. I think of him as average size, but he's much more like Tatis's size than he is somebody else's, right?
He has Tatis potential. He's okay. A skinny guy. He's 21. He's well put together in the way that, you know, he'll grow into that. And Yeah, it'll be interesting. What position does he play? How big is he? What's the home run potential? Right. I mean, or is he like a 25-25 guy? He's fast.
Yeah.
But he also has this incredible bat control and can hit singles, doubles. I mean, he and Manny Machado during this 9-2 stretch are scorching.
Yeah.
He is doing what he's done all year, which is from game to game, series to series. He's learning how to do it at bat to at bat. He is like, what is the pitcher trying to do to me?
Right. No, you're right. And to see him adjust, again, he's 21 years old. To see him adjust to what baseball is sort of countering him with is, I mean, I think been really fun to watch. I know I said this last time. I find this team so compelling to watch because of these storylines, whether it's Profar or Merrill or whatever. You hate to think where they'd be without him. I mean, they'd be, you know.
I hope that for Padres fans' sake that, like, that's what they're saying at the end of the year, because I suspect that's what a lot of playoff teams say, World Series winners say, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I will stand by my contention, and by the way, the contention of baseball people, a lot smarter than me, that the stars have to perform for you. If you're a team like the Padres that is built around those stars, the stars have to perform. Okay. Right. But I will also say that I suspect World Series champions look back and there's 2, 3, 4 guys that you go, man, we did not necessarily see that coming. And if it hadn't been for fill in the blank, we would not have won a ring. That's what
absolutely. And coming up, you know, next week, the Padres are celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1984 NLCS team. And there are guys on that team who had career years and they were good because of it. You know,
gosh, I hope the 1998 team that they've celebrated like 30 times in the past 25 years, I hope they don't get jealous. Holy smokes. Wow. I hadn't realized that. That's right. My gosh, 40 years. Mm-hmm. This is wow. And think about that, too. Like, it takes us full circle to the Rangers. Remember the big deal everybody made about the Rangers going to the World Series for the third time, winning it for the first? Like, here we are covering the Padres. They've been twice.
Yeah, they've been twice, and neither series was particularly competitive. But let's talk about the Rangers here. The Padres don't own any team in baseball more than they own the Rangers, right? They've won 11 straight against the Rangers.
And I'm gonna demonstrate at least two things that I can think of. And number one is what a dork I am and how I spend my times in my hotel rooms, in case you ever wondered, and I'm sure you did. And then also just how awesome baseball is. So Kirby Yates and Travis Jankowski are on this team now.
Sure.
Kirby Yates is the closer. Travis Jankowski has most often served as their DH. So here's the deal. 2018, first year on the beat, the last game of a season series where the Padres lost 2-4, went 2-4 against the Rangers. They have swept them since, winning 10 games. They've swept them the last three seasons that they played them. In this final game of those 6 games against the Rangers, it was at Petco Park, and the Padres are down 3-2. Kirby Yates comes in, gets the final 2 outs of the 8th inning. Padres trailing by 1, so he's in there to keep it close. He strikes out Rougned Odor and gets Jurickson Profar on a line out to third. In the top of the 9th, Eric Hosmer grounds out. Franmil Reyes singles. Travis Jankowski pinch runs for Franmil Reyes. Freddie Galvis hits a double. Travis Jankowski scores the tying run. 4 batters later, Francisco Mejia hits a grand slam, walk-off grand slam. Padres win that game. Haven't lost to the Rangers since Like I said, I'm a dork.
That's incredible.
And you, everybody watching knows I did not refer to notes during this little spiel.
You made direct eye contact the whole time. That's incredible.
You know, I just love it. It's baseball. It's like, hey, you don't know what you're going to see when you go to the ballpark, and you don't know if it that the one of the most meaningless games in Padres history, and that would be tied with like 2,050 other games, sure, that you don't know that's going to start an 11-game winning streak against a team that is now the defending world champions.
When I think of the Padres playing the Rangers, I think of Joe Musgrove.
Very good.
Can I tell a story? We've got a little time. Can I give you a 3-minute story here?
Oh, please.
You ready? I was living in another state, working another job, had a TV mounted in my backyard because we were fancy like that in Arizona, Kevin. We had ordered one of those above ground hot tubs. We had a pool. We had ordered one of those above ground hot tubs.
Still a little hot in Tucson in September 9th, 2021.
Yes.
Okay.
Still a little hot, but we do it. We've got this. I'm trying to figure out where we should put it. I've got tape measures out, and I put a Home Depot bucket where I think we're going to put this hot tub. And I strictly so I can look and see the TV. How can we see the TV from the hot tub? Would it work, et cetera, et cetera. And I sit there and I'm doing it. I'm looking at my phone and doing some work stuff. And all of a sudden it's the fourth inning and I realize Joe Musgrove is throwing a no-hit. I sat on that Home Depot bucket in my backyard in Tucson, Arizona for the next 2 hours. Did not move because I'm not superstitious, but I am. Anyway, celebrate is not the word. I witnessed the first no-hitter in Padres history sitting on an overturned orange Home Depot bucket in my backyard, sweating my you-know-what off because it was Tucson, Arizona in the summer. But I remember it, and I remember that stadium. Again, you know, it's funny. The Padres, I mean, that's where the Padres lost to the Dodgers, right? In that COVID year too. So, you know, the Padres aren't undefeated in that stadium. They've lost some games in that stadium. But anyway, I always, whenever the Padres play the Rangers, I think.
What a great story, because it speaks to how special that moment was in Padres lore. It is right now. And perhaps maybe if you weren't paying attention then, or you hadn't been a long suffering fan, perhaps your moment is beating the Dodgers in the division series in 2022. Right. That's fine. Perhaps if you're old like me, your moment is Steve Garvey home run and then clinching the next day.
Right.
But really the home run, because it's just like a moment.
People forget there was a game the next day. Go ahead.
I was blown away at how important that was to Padres fans. And I wish I knew the number off the top of my head, if it's 7,280 games or whatever it was. But because I was there and I was blown away at how important it was. Now, I knew it would be. There'd been this Twitter account, maybe there still is, keeping track of how many, and people talked about it. And every time a guy would get to the sixth or the seventh, or, you know, Tyson Ross goes 7-2, whatever. But I just, it was so special to people and it resonated. And it's just one of those things where, yeah, Joe never has to buy coffee in San Diego again.
Yeah, coffee or any other drink, probably. Yeah.
To Cafe Odesso. But anyway, very special.
Very special. Very special. I was the guy, too. I left a full Costco shopping cart in Costco and ran home one time because O.D. Despaigne had a no-hitter going through seven. And by the time I got home, he had blown it, turned around, went back to Costco. The cart was still there.
If you'd stayed in the Costco like you stayed on the bucket, the bulk bucket, if you'd stayed in the bulk store, well, then we would have had a different outcome. But I'm glad it was Joe Musgrove. No offense.
The Texas Rangers, I think, are the living example of that thing you say that if your team wins the World Series, you're not allowed to complain for like 10 more years. They're not playing good baseball at the moment. This is a team that is really struggling in a division where, you know, it is pretty wide open. You know, Seattle was running away with the AL West for a while. They've come back to earth. The series is there for the division is there for the Rangers to take. Really struggling. What is up with them so far this season?
Well, first, I'm going to be interesting to see if Corey Seager, who got hit on the wrist Saturday, evidently X-rays were negative. You know, they're one of the guys that they brought in that changed them, right? Like with Simeon, and obviously they've had to brought in some pitchers, and the Padres will face a few of them here, but it's one of the guys, the whatever it was, they committed $500 million in over the course of a couple off seasons. Seager is one of, well, virtually every Rangers batter who is not having as good a year as he had last year, right? Mm-hmm. And now look, the Rangers got hot at the end, and maybe the Rangers do here, but right now they're 38-46, and you know, the people, look, they just got Max Scherzer. When he starts on Thursday, he'll be making his third start. He's had two good ones, and you know, they just got him back. They've had some injuries, but everyone, like no one, is performing to the level that they did last year.
Yeah, nobody at all. It really is interesting to me. Speaking of October, the pitchers who the Padres are facing in this series tonight, it's Dylan Cease versus Nathan Eovaldi. There was a time when he was the guy you wanted pitching in an elimination game in the baseball playoffs, right? Red Sox World Series legend, Nathan Eovaldi. Wednesday, Adam Major versus John Gray. Again, John Gray, a guy not a ton of playoff experience, but was the Rockies' de facto ace for years and years. And then Thursday, you've got Michael King versus Max Scherzer, who I will always associate as the guy who gave up the Slammerina home run and not as one of the greatest right-handers of our time. But that's a me problem. So
he is also a guy who it's like, oh, to me, like, oh yeah, of course Scherzer came back in for time to face the Padres in 2021, one of the most disappointing seasons in a disappointing franchise's disappointing history. The Padres faced Scherzer, and this is not why, but it was on this list of things that went against the Padres. Between his Dodgers and Nationals, they faced him both times they faced the Nationals that year. They don't get Scherzer when they thought they were going to at the trade deadline. Scherzer goes to the Dodgers, and the Padres end up facing him like four more times. They faced Scherzer like six times that year. Now, of course, one of them was the Slammerina game, back when it seemed like there was absolutely no stopping the Padres at that point.
Right.
It was incredible just the things that were happening that year. But yeah, so they get, and here they are. Of course, they're going to face Scherzer. And he'll probably get traded at the trade deadline because they'll be out of it and they'll end up facing him again.
Yeah, he'll go back to the Dodgers at the trade deadline. I brought this up to you on a text the other day, and let me float this idea at you. Last year's Rangers saw a lot of their high-priced talent get hurt early in the year. They made some moves at the deadline that didn't really work out. It's a team that, despite a bloated payroll, was really led by, with the exception of Kyle Seager, really led by young guys, by rookies who stepped up. I mean, we're talking Jonah Heim, we're talking Adolis Garcia, guys like that. I see a little bit of that in what the Padres have done this year, where, you know, they're big name guys, Tatis, Musgrove, Darvish, Bogarts, right? All been hurt. They've really been carried by these guys who are either young or, in the case of Jurickson Profar, a veteran having a rebound year.
Yeah, and then guys that carry in the playoffs, like Garcia and stuff. I think that, yeah, I can't poke a whole lot of holes in that, right? Like that, you can't just draw – there's no such thing as drawing a straight line. That's maybe kind of what I was talking about earlier, right? Like you look back and you go, huh, didn't see that coming. And and I would say that I bet you every baseball person would say, yeah, exactly. That's what a baseball – that's what a winning team has to have.
Right.
I don't know how true it is all the time, but, you know, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I think that most people think of the Rangers as freewheeling when it comes to spending, and a team that went out and, you know, not bought a championship, but certainly bought a competitive team with the help of no state income tax and all of that. But, you know, really last year's World Series team, look, Kyle Seager had the big home run. This is a team that was led by a lot of its vets.
Yeah.
But they got great performances from guys who were not expected to do big things, at least, you know, right away. Right. I think of Jonah Heim. I mean, you know, is that their Jackson Merrill?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Padres hope that it can work out like that. And I don't know Jonah Heim from Adam, but from Adam Major. But I didn't want to offend anybody. But I don't know Jonah Heim. But my understanding is, yes, like you've got a character guy who knows how to play the game.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely who Jackson Merrill is. And it's probably the thing, by the way, not that excites me the most about him, is I covered the Dodgers when they were in a string of five straight rookies of the year. And you can only name two of them, maybe three. And it's like it showed me how little the rookie of the year can mean year to year. And I paid attention to that over the years. Take a look at the lists of rookies of the year. Not going to get too excited about a rookie is my point. But I think this is who Jackson Merrill is.
Todd Hollinsworth, Billy Ashley.
Hey, you're going to get more than three then.
Hideo Nomo, Piazza. Was Piazza on that list?
Yes, and now I'm blanking on the fifth. But I'll
Chan Ho Park? Is Chan Ho Park a rookie of the year?
No. I'm blanking on the fifth now, which is very, very embarrassing. But one of the others was a San Diego kid, Eric Karras.
Eric Karros, of course. Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry, hi.
Yeah. Don't ever bring it up if you can't remember who the fifth was. Mondesi, don't be an idiot. Mondesi.
Oh, he was a guy. He became a guy.
He did. But I think if right now you're looking at you, Padres fans' expectation is statue contract for Jackson Merrill, which right. let's temper it here. And I probably should be careful myself, just to remember he is a rookie. But I just think very highly of the character that he has.
Because it's my birthday, Kevin, will you indulge me a question about my favorite topic right now? Can Aggie Rosario play right field for this team?
I didn't know. I thought Luis Arraez was your favorite topic.
Well, it's my favorite. Aggie Rosario, it's a longstanding favorite topic of mine.
You're right. This goes back further. Aggie goes back further for you. I haven't seen him working out there in a couple days. I think it is a possibility.
Okay.
If things continue to go in the 3-for-15 pace for Bryce Johnson, it could be a probability. Mm-hmm. Depending on how long Tatis is out. Mm-hmm. They talked about it like it was going to happen when they brought Eggie back. So, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Jeff Sanders wrote something, I will ask him to justify this at some point. He wrote something the other day that said that Eggie Rosario had the best arm in the system.
Yeah.
And this is a system that includes Fernando Tatis.
Yeah. I'm going to write that down. See where we're at on that. I'll tell you what, Jeff talks to a lot of people, does a magnificent job on the minor league report. I don't doubt it, but I read it and went, I didn't know that metric. I didn't know that. So let's check it out.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We can check it out. Padres Rangers, 3-game series. It was strange. You know, they played Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, head home for the July 5th baseball game, which will be sort of your July 4th, the unofficial July 4th celebration at Petco would be my guess.
Yeah, and there will be. I wonder if there are fireworks here tomorrow night because it's a day game on the 4th here. So,
yeah.
You know, the Padres have every Monday off in July.
Let's talk about that just real quick.
It messes me up big time.
This is a team that, because they got such an early start to the season, they've played 4 or 5 more games than most teams right now. Is July really where they make that up? And then we're looking the second half of the season, they're about on the same path as everybody else?
Yeah, July to early August. I believe they have the 5th off before a game in Pittsburgh. And I believe they also then maybe have the 1st off. So you got 2 days in the first 5 in August. So there's, go through that. But yeah, it's a I wish I still had it. I've written about it. You can check it out. I've written it a couple of times. How few games they play over the next 5 weeks. And my bad, obviously we knew they would have more games. What I didn't do is couple them starting early with them also just go from everybody else's opening day. They played more games than all but I think one team, maybe the Yankees, from the 28th of March to this past Sunday. It was a couple things that has them 5-6 games more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Anybody else. 5-6 more than some teams, 2 or 3 more than most teams.
Right. I see Adam Major is on the going to start in this series, but with all these days off, do you see them adjusting their pitching plans?
Okay. Yes. Yes. So obviously moved Cease up to pitch still on 5 days rest instead of what would be the quote unquote regular 4, which they have gone on quite a bit early based on, having injuries and then playing all those games. And then Major will go on out. I think now with the 2 off days in between his starts, I believe 7 days rest for Major and then 5 days for King, who's also moving up a day. So they're moving Vasquez back at least a day.
Okay.
After he got hit, and he said he threw on Sunday. I didn't see it because I was chasing other things before the game. His arm isn't necessarily swollen. He's still wearing a sleeve after being hit on, was it Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like as long as he's out there doing his full thing today, I would think he could start Friday at home against the Diamondbacks. But yeah, then all these other days off, you can reset. You can set it up so you get Cease. You've got next Monday and Thursday off. If Cease still going good, and I guess he'd probably be your top option now, he and Waldron and then King. But you want to get King some rest because tomorrow he could pass his career high in innings. So if you want to go Cease, Waldron, set it up so they pitch the most before the All-Star game, right? I haven't done the math. I will maybe for the newsletter tomorrow. And then you got the rest. Boom, Cease Waldron coming right out of the All-Star break too. So you get that's where you do. You not only get your top guys more work, you get you are able to give your young guys or guys that maybe need a rest, you'll be able to give them a rest without taking them out of the rotation.
Any updates on Yu Darvish?
Throwing have not in the last 2 days, but up to that point, throwing back at Petco Park and perhaps after the All-Star break. No reason, even if they could, let's say, push it, right? Their thing with these guys has been to be really careful. Like, this thing with you is supposedly not a big deal, but it's a 37-year-old with an elbow.
Right.
So they made it a big deal.
Right.
And shut him down, or I guess he was already shut down. He was just scheduled to come off. And now they're going to slow play it. And, you know, he probably will have to do, he's been out so long, probably another rehab at least, and then come back after the All-Star break. Same with Joe Musgrove, though. Joe Musgrove will probably be a week or two behind you.
Right. Well, and they're playing so well. Again, this is what happens when you're playing well, right? You don't make today decisions. They are playing well enough that they can say, hey, let's hold off until after the All-Star break on these guys. And their season will still – their season won't be sunk because of, right?
Right. Right. Absolutely. That does bring up whenever you say how well they're playing, they need to keep going like this. Like my thing about how that was just a loss on Sunday. As long as they come in and win this series, right? Yeah. And then they they win the series against the Diamondbacks. And so – that's what a good team does so that we can just go, okay, well, that was a loss. Okay, that was a loss because there were, you know, 7 of 8, 7 of 9, 6 of 8, that kind of thing, you know, 4 games, then a loss, that sort of thing. That's what they need to do. And I still say they're not out of the woods because remember, like they're playing without all these guys. And we've talked about it before. I do give them credit. They made a more complete offense. You're still missing some really important guys.
Absolutely. And again, 2021, Kevin, you remind me of 2021 often where, you know, this was a team that looked unbeatable back then. And then injuries mount and you overuse your bullpen and you face plant. So,
yeah.
Hey, Kevin, at the end of every episode, I put you on the spot. As best as you can tell me, because it's been a few years, how close were the Padres to getting Max Scherzer?
Very close. And then, but then like, They weren't close enough that they thought that it was done. They were as surprised by the report that it had not been done as anyone. Like, they were legit surprised.
Okay.
My understanding is they thought, okay, cool, we're going to hear back.
Right.
They're the ones who put out there Trey Turner and Max Scherzer.
Right.
They're the ones who – that was their idea.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And the next thing they knew, the Dodgers had them. That was kind of like how it went over the course of, I've got in my mind like 6 or 7 hours or something. Yeah. Like it was like, boom, oh, wait, we didn't even hear back. Now that's their version of it. You know, maybe one day we'll do an oral history of it when everyone retires.
When that report came out, were there those in the organization that went, oh, good, we got them?
No, that's where I knew that it wasn't true was by the reactions I got from people in the organization. There wasn't the key words of it's not done yet or that type of stuff. It was don't know what this is. Not even close. Like, I forget how they said it, close, but not close or something. Like it was clear to me because I hate putting out a report that says another report's not true. I hate that. Like, I don't like to do that to other journalists, but this was one where it's like, you got to, because it's not the case.
Wow. Wow. Gosh, it seems so long ago. It really wasn't. What? It was 2021?
Yep.
Wow. 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 Well, the Padres will see Max Scherzer here this week. It's a 3-game series, starts tonight at Globe Life Ballpark in wherever we are. Are we in Arlington? What's the technical term?
Arlington, comma, Texas.
Arlington, comma.
There's only two places that I have to put a state after the dateline. Kansas City, Mo.
Right.
And Arlington, Texas.
So we don't confuse it with Arlington, Virginia, would be my guess.
Which would be weird that you'd be playing the Rangers there, but you got to make sure.
You never know. Well, the Rangers came from
the area.
The Senators. There we go. Yes. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Rangers 3-game series. Kevin, we'll talk next time as the Padres open up a homestand against the Diamondbacks. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.